know what it sounds like out there. I just... Oh, it's good in my ears. Turn it up out there. Breakthrough meetings. Let's stand and start praise and worship together this evening.
Darkness, my
You wipe away. You wipe away all tears. Mend the broken heart. You are the answer to it all. Oh, Jesus. You wipe away all tears. You mend the broken heart. You are the answer to it all. Yes, Jesus. Oh, you wipe away all tears. Mend the broken heart. You are the answer to it all. Oh, Jesus. You wipe away all tears. Mend the broken heart. You are the answer to it all. To it all. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. He is to you, he is the Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Yes, you are, Lord, you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, Lord. You are here, touching every life. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. I worship you.
The way maker, the miracle worker. We rest in the confidence of your word, and we're thankful for the eternal gift, the gift that keeps on giving, the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. Oh God, all that you are, thank you. We are not in the shadows. We are in the realities of your manifold blessings forever. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the house of the Lord this wonderful evening. Thank you, worship team. Celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sometime back when the Lord captioned these meetings that we're having, he called it breakthrough meetings. When I heard those words, I said, I've heard those words many times before. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. What is going to be different about this one? The Lord spoke very clearly to me. He said, do you know that this is when I had my breakthrough? I stopped for a moment to consider those words. You had a breakthrough? He says, yeah, right here. At this feast, that's when I had my breakthrough. I said, what breakthrough did you get? He said the breakthrough to have sons and daughters. The breakthrough to be able to break the resistance, the test of whether I will obey what I came and was sent to do. Until this point in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, he just did the miracles. He followed the instructions of the Father. He did whatever the Father wanted him to do. But it was not until this very moment that the test of what he, the Bible says, he learned obedience. This was the place. This was the place where obedience became better than sacrifice. This was the place where he had to fight with himself. I want you to understand that your greatest battle in life is not with the devil. Your greatest battle in life is the battle against yourself. My greatest battle is against myself. Me defeating me to obey the Most High God. Somebody listening. Jesus, our Lord, went to the garden, and there is where he began to shed his blood. His sweat became blood. The vessels in his body began to break until blood started floating all over him. This was before he got whooped for the first time. This was before anybody plucked a hair off of his face. This was before anybody spat on him. This was before anything happened. He was bleeding. Why was he bleeding? He was fighting himself. Himself said, run. Himself said, call down angels, wipe out the forces. Do the kingdom that the devil offered you in the wilderness. Do it now. Do it now. If I ask for legions of angels, they will come and they will support me. And you know the amazing thing? He said God will support him on the decision that he made. Even though that decision was contrary to what God's will was. You know, so many times we go through life and we think God has blessed a thing because something good happened. No, sometimes what is being blessed is not the perfect will of God. And so I need to fight against myself to continue. I remember many years ago, the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, if you want to go anywhere in the world, I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to increase you, I'm going to enlarge you, I'm going to bring you all the help that you need. The offer was so good. Because in the natural, when I looked in the audience, I saw a handful of people. I just wanted to take off. And I had to fight myself. And I had to say, God, you told me you were going to do something, and I'm not going to step away from that. Do it here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I had to fight myself. The offer was good. But I had to fight myself to align myself with the perfect will of God. Because I know as I stand here, God has a plan and a purpose for this great city of Winnipeg. God has a plan and a purpose for this province. God has a plan and a purpose for this nation. Hallelujah. And no matter what the enemy tries to do, I must align myself with the will of God so that As it is said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says, I can call legions and they will come and they will take care of everything. And if the army of Rome is wiped off, I won't have to go to the cross. But except the seed dies, it abideth alone. What am I willing to trade myself for? Because sometimes what you think is a blessing is not. It's not. And as we come to this time of Passover, we need to reflect on that. What about me do I need to subdue so that he can be sovereign in every area? John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's not about us. It's about him. I was talking with a young man earlier today about this fight against ourselves. I began to share with him about how the Lord Jesus Christ came, paid the price, died for us, and he stepped out. And he said, the Holy Spirit is going to come. And the Holy Spirit is not going to talk about himself. He's not going to focus on himself. The Holy Spirit is going to point to me. But even as the Holy Spirit points to me, I'm pointing to the Father. Because you see, Jesus died on the cross. Yes? But the Bible says, God so loved, the Father so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. So it is God's love that we are been called into. And after everything is done and all the crowns of victory are laid on Jesus, he still does one thing. He takes all those crowns and he lays it at the feet of the Father. Because it's not about him. It's all about the Father. Oh, are they equal? Yeah. But in that equality of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father, he says, there is one boss here, and it is the Father. And that's the same question that we have to deal with. Who is the boss of my life? Who's the boss man? Me? Or is it the Father? At this time that we call Good Friday, the issue is, who's the boss? Who's the boss of my life? Who's the boss of your life? To whom do we render all our worship, all our adoration? Who is it that we are all connected to? Did you know that Jesus Christ, our Lord, came and the one thing he came to do, other than to die for you and I, was to point us to the Father? Everything about his ministry was about the Father. I want to reveal the Father to you. I want you to know that God, my Father, loves you. And when he rose again from the dead, he said, I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God, and your God. Am I talking Bible? This is in your Bible? I'm not making it up. So what is it about the Father that you and I know? The Lord Jesus Christ tells us a story about the prodigal son, who left home wasted all his resources, and finally comes to his mind and he says, you know what? The servants in my father's house are doing very well. They lack nothing. They're doing great. I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to say to him, I've sinned against the heavens. I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Just make me one of your servants and I'll just be fine. For years I read this particular passage and I didn't get the point. I said, it's great. He came back. Until one day the Lord said to me, he didn't come back for me. I said, what do you mean? He said, he came back for this stuff. What was going to be comfortable to him? That's why he came back. He said, but I shunned, even though I knew why he was coming back and that he was coming back for all the wrong reasons, my love caused me to see him, caused me to run to him, caused me to hug him, caused me to change his clothing, caused me to put the ring in his finger, caused me to kill the fatted calf. Huh? All he wanted was his stuff. But really what I wanted for him to know is that I'm past this stuff. I want to have a relationship with him. Do you know that the greatest breakthrough that you and I can experience today is to understand that very truth, that God wants you to have a relationship with him? And that he's going past all of the mistakes and saying, I love you. And I'm willing to do anything and everything to save you if you will let me. I need to remind myself about that. That's not about this stuff. But there are so many people, maybe some here today, if you lost all your stuff, you might just walk away from God. You know, what good have you done for me lately? I don't have a house. I don't have clothes. I don't have shoes. I don't have this. It's all gone. Bye-bye, God. I'm going to go do something else. Seeking you first and your kingdom first? I don't think so. That is about the battle with yourself. Because we've associated, hear me, everybody listening? We've associated the blessing with things. I'm blessed because I have this. I'm not blessed because I don't have this, and so. No. Fight yourself now and understand that you're blessed because you have God. Things will come and go. Things will rot. Yeah. The blessing is in your relationship with the God of the universe. Amen. Knowing him, connecting with him. Because if you don't know that, you will live a lie. We will live defeated. If you don't know that, you'll have an elbow problem. You say, what's the elbow problem? Booze. Trying to hide from your problem. You have a sniffing problem, a cutting problem. What do you mean, sniffing and cutting? trying to hide from your problem because you don't have a connection with God. And please don't give me this, that I'm already in church, so that will not happen. Do you know how many people who were even born in a Christian home that are all entangled in all kinds of foolishness today? People who were in the band praising and worshiping God, their hands were high lifted, and today their heads are buried in a mess because they chose the stuff rather than God. My greatest battle is not the devil. My greatest battle is with me. It's just me. What decisions am I going to make? Who am I going to connect to? What am I going to connect to? What are my ambitions? What do I think success is? Many years ago, I had come here early in the morning on Sunday, as I normally do, spend at least an hour with the Lord, then go back home and get ready to come back to church. And this particular day, I was in a zone, and the zone was not a good zone, because I was looking at myself and I was thinking, I am not cutting the mustard. I'm not being effective. I didn't go to the extent of saying I'm not a failure. I am a failure. I just thought about myself, you're not a success. You're not being successful. You've spent so much time in the ministry, and what do you have to show for it? And while I was going through all of that struggle with myself, I heard the voice of the Lord. He said to me, he said, son, if you had a church that had 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 people, more, you have a following on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, in the millions, will that make you feel that you're successful? I said, that won't be bad. That'll be great. That'll be successful. Okay. If I use you and miracles are happening all over the place, you come into a service and people are just falling under the power of God, and all kinds of diseases are healed and miracles are happening left, right, and center, that'll be successful, won't that be? I said, whoa, that'll be good. He said, do you want to know what success really is to me? I said, yeah. So I have a few more questions for you. When I asked you to go to such and such a country, did you go? I said, I did. When I asked you to give this money over there, did you do it? I said, yes, I did. When I asked you to do this and do that and do this and do that, did you do what I said you should do? I said, yes. And when I told you not to do this, did you not do it even though you felt that that's what you would like to do? I said, yeah, I didn't do it. He said, you want to know what success is? I said, yeah, well, were you asking me all these questions? He said, success is obedience. Huh? Success is obedience. Yeah. Whatever I tell you to do, do it. The first miracle Jesus Christ performed was performed with a mother saying, whatever he says for you to do, do it. And Jesus came to do what the Father asked him to do. It was not easy, but he did it. And the breakthrough that God is asking for us to have, and he wants to release into our lives, is a breakthrough of us being able to subdue ourselves and being obedient to the directives and the guidance of the Most High God, willing to do whatever it is he wants us to do, give whatever he says for us to give, understand whatever it is that he wants us to understand, embrace whatever it is he wants us to embrace, shun whatever it is he wants us to shun. Being able to do what God said. There was a man called Abraham. Been looking for a child, for a son, finally, after he did all the wrong things. And do you remember, the wife said to him, "Why don't you take my maid here called Hagar?" Remember this? And God said, "Listen to her. This is what happened, right? Listen to her. Throw the woman out," and God says, "Listen to her. Because it's already in your heart. Finally, he gets the promised child called Isaac. And one day God says to him, "I want you to sacrifice Isaac." Ishmael is not the right one. Finally, Isaac came. After all these years of promise, finally, I don't know whether it's by fluke or whatever, somehow it happened. Now you want me to go sacrifice Isaac? Yeah. So he goes up to Mount Moriah. Right there in Jerusalem. He leaves his servants and says, "I and the boy are going to go up yonder." We're going to go up yonder and we're going to worship. I'm going to come back again to you. So they go up. While they're going, Isaac says, "I see the wood. I see the fire. Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Where is the lamb that we're going to sacrifice? We've got all the tools. Everything is here. But where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham says, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. God is going to provide the sacrifice." Okay? They get up to the mountain. The altar is set. The wood is set. And Abraham says to the son, "Lie on the altar." I'm the sacrifice. I told you, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Ties him up there. I want you to see that Isaac is not some little kid. He can fight his way out of this. But he fights against himself. And what it is that he would like to do for himself, protect himself, stays there. Father takes a dagger and is ready to do what they did with every lamb, cut off his head. And as he takes up that dagger, God speaks. God says, don't kill your son. And he looks up. The word of God says here in Genesis 22, 12, he says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Word of God says, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him, a ram caught. How do you look up and see a ram caught behind you? May I say this to us, to you, to me? God will not ask you to do anything that's beyond your ability to do. Now, understand that statement in this context. That ram was already caught there. It didn't just appear. It's just that Abraham did not see it. Why didn't he see it? Possibly because his eyes were not open to see it. And possibly because he was so focused on obeying the directives of God that did not come to view. But I prefer the previous one, because if Abraham did not see it, why wouldn't Isaac see it? He already told him God will provide the sacrifice. So I'm sure Isaac is busy looking for the sacrifice, and so would have seen it. Because it's cut there. And because it's cut there, it must be making a lot of ruckus, shaking everything. So how did it appear there? Because they were both going through the one same thing, the call to obedience. Isaac is going to obey on the altar, and Abraham is going to obey in the willingness of his heart to sacrifice. Are you with me so far? This is the great challenge. He looks up and he sees. Because when you are willing to obey God, you will see things that you have gone past that you did not see. Let me say that again. You will see those things that you have already gone past that you did not see. Because if it is behind him, it's because he already went past it. Hallelujah. Obedience. Obedience is me willing to sacrifice my own will, my own plans, just to do the one thing the Father wants me to do. That is the one thing that you have. God has everything. There's nothing God does not have. God has everything. The only thing he does not have and does not have control over is your will to obey. And when you and I give him our will, then he becomes Lord of all. Lord of all. He's now in charge of everything because I've surrendered the one thing that he doesn't have. My will to decide to agree with his will. We all seated here today have our own personal wills. You made a decision today to be here. It's a decision you made. Nobody forced you. An invitation was thrown out. Special meetings today, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, 6:30. And you left your home. Some of you drove 40 minutes, an hour, maybe more, to get here. That's an act of your will. Because you can be watching something on television right now, listening to the news, all kinds of things. You have all kinds of options. You can be home right now, you know, cooking your turkey. All kinds of things. You can go to a restaurant, Olive Garden. You can go to McDonald's. You can go to KFC. You can go to, you know, 528, you know, whatever. But you chose to be here. And you got here. Now, what are you going to do? And tonight, the question is, am I going to have my breakthrough? And this night, the breakthrough is to be able to go after anything that will cause me not to align myself with the will of God. No matter what it is, I am going to do the will of God. Praise the Lord. And every day God is going to bring you through the process. But one thing I've learned, and I'm still learning, I don't stand here as some expert that has everything together, because I don't. I'll be the first person to tell you that. But the one thing I do know is this. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you are what? Willing and obedient. That's the key. That's the key right there. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make it white as wool. Verse 18, Isaiah 1:18. Yeah? And who's speaking? God. God saying, come, let us do what? reason together. I don't reason with my cat. When you talk about reasoning, you are bringing somebody to a level of equality that you can communicate with. And the God of the universe is saying, come, we can reason together. But Lord, I'm just a bug. And God says, no, you're not. You're my child. I created you in my image and likeness. And you have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Come, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as what? Scarlet. They shall be as white as what? Snow. Wait a minute. My sin is as scarlet. You're going to make the sin white as snow? And that's exactly what God says. He says, your bad situation, I'm going to flip it around and give you a testimony out of your test. Wow. That's God. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Huh? God is speaking directly to the problem and saying, I'm going to turn your problem around. Hallelujah. That's a breakthrough. That's a breakthrough. My problem, you're going to flip it around and bring a story out of this? Yeah. People are going to celebrate the victory with you. Huh? You're going to do this? Yes, I'm going to do that. But you have to be willing and you have to be what? Obedient. So you can eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And has anybody ever heard that God said something and it didn't come to pass? Did God say, let there be light, and it became more dark? No. And if God be for you and for me, who and what can be against you or me? Today, have a breakthrough in your thinking. I am not stoppable. I am willing and obedient. I will listen to the instruction of God, and I will have my breakthrough. I'll wrap up with this. In Mark 11, it's a passage of scripture I've preached from so many times. I love this passage of scripture. In fact, I do believe that if you took all of the Bible away from me and you left me with Mark 11, if that's all I'm left with Mark 11, I will live a victorious life. This passage is so loaded. So loaded. The Lord Jesus Christ is heading to Jerusalem. And he comes to a place called Bethphage. Bethphage just means the town or village of unripe figs. And he comes to a place called Bethany. Bethany is an interesting place because it has two meanings, Bethany. Bethany means the house of dates or the house of misery. 2 minutes. Bethphage, unripe figs. Non-ripe figs are not good. And sometimes in our lives, we can feel about ourselves that we are not ready. That's why it's unripe. It's going to get ripened, but it's not ready. The house of dates, dates are sweet. But it also says the house of misery. And he comes to his disciples and he's at this Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is the Mount of crushing. Jesus is going to go there. That's where the Garden of Gethsemane is. Place of crushing. While he's there, he says to his disciples, go over your way over to that village that's against you. And as soon as you entered into it, you're going to find a colt that is tied, whereon never man sat, loose him and bring him. Okay? And they went their way. They found the colt tied by the door. Tied by the door. I don't want to spend time. This is real serious preaching material right here. So I don't want to spend my time there. But you know what the door is. The door is a point of entrance and, you know, exit. And it's tied by the door, meaning that it's seen people come in and out. And it's there where two ways meet. So you have options. He said, loose him. Bring him. So they went. And he says, by the way, when you get there, when you're loosening that animal, if anybody asks you, why are you trying to get this, take this thing out of here? Just tell them, the Lord has need of it. Praise God. The Lord has what? Need of it. He says, and they will let you go. Now, just look at it for a moment, the door. Going in and out, a place where two roads meet. Options, do I go this way or go that way? It's tied, it wants to be free, it's looking at everybody else seems to be free, and it's trying to be like everybody else, but it is stuck. And this particular day, word comes, and this colt is going to be released. It's released. Remember, nobody has ever ridden on this animal. Are you with me so far? Nobody. What happens when you try to ride a colt that has never been ridden on? It's going to throw you off, right? It's going to buck. What does this colt do? Does it bark and throw Jesus off? And Jesus lands like, I was going to say something, I better not say it. I have options. No, the colt stays. garments have been put on the colt, and the colt stays, does not shake any of it off. Jesus sits on it, and it does not throw Jesus off. There are things being put in its way, and all it's focused on is doing what the master wants done. It broke itself. It fought against itself. Somebody listening? It fought against, even though the natural thing for it to do was to bark, it fought against himself. To take Jesus where Jesus was going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell you what. The battle is against your natural, carnal tendencies. Everybody's doing it. No. I am going to obey the instruction of the Lord. I'm going to do what God wants to do. When it comes to my finances, I'm going to do what God is asking me to do. When it comes to the issues of my moral lifestyle, I'm going to do what God's word says I shall do. Oh, my time, the time is ticking, it's ticking. I better do something or else I'm going to be an old maid. I'm going to do what God's word says I'm going to do. You got to save it up, or I'm going to walk. Hit the road, Jack. Walk. But this body is a temple of the Most High God. It is not meant for fornication and adultery. If you're going to be part of us, you got to. Drink like us, smoke like us, sniff like us. Now, there's a temptation here, but this is a temple of God. I am not going that route. Lie, cheat. No, that's not for me. That's fighting you to line up with the will of God. Because ultimately, the only people that are going to have entrance, remember, sin did not just start in the garden. It started when Lucifer wanted to go against what God's will is and generated a rebellious atmosphere, and God kicked it out. Do you think God is going to bring a rebellious you into his kingdom? Hello? That won't be very smart. That won't be smart at all for God to bring in rebellion for eternity? We're not doing that. Been there, seen it, done it, finished with it. Amen. Only people that are obedient get to go in. I'm washed by the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, glory be to God, and I'm still living in sin. It's not going to cut the mustard, brother. The willingness of heart to surrender to God and say, break me and make me a new creation. All things, let it all pass away. Behold, let everything now be new in my life. I choose to follow God. Amen? That's it, brother. That's it. So the first breakthrough message is this, the breakthrough to obey and not rebel. Amen. God says, do something, do it. God says, tithe, just tithe. Who are you tithing to? To the one who gave everything to make sure that you get saved. Hallelujah. So why are you fighting it? God says, give, give. God says, preach the gospel, preach the gospel. Or they're going to kill me. You're not the first one. Paul says to be absent from the body. You want to go to heaven? Go. So what's the fear? What's the fear? If I try to do the right thing, I'm going to get fired. Get fired already. Do the right thing and let God make a way for you. After all, he said, I will meet all of your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is the time for him to prove it. Hallelujah. So the nonsense about living in fear, it's not because we are afraid. It's because we don't want to align with the will of God. You have the fear of man. Why don't you have the fear of God? He said, don't be afraid of man who can just kill your body and that's it. He said, be afraid of the one who kill your body, kill your soul, throw you in the garbage dump. Be afraid of that one. Be afraid of God before man. Hallelujah. That makes sense? So our breakthrough is to choose God, following God, doing the will of God, magnifying him in spirit and in truth, and fear not them which kill the body, but not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in what? Hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father knowing it? Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me, watch this, before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. You confess me before men, you tell people about me, I'm going to tell Father about you. Hallelujah. I like that upgrade, don't you think? What about you? Praise God. What can man do for you? You tell people, and they can only do so much. But my Father, which is in heaven, that's where the real beef is at. And says, if you deny me before man, well, I'll also deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And I wrap up with this verse. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Huh? Well, I thought he was the Prince of Peace. Yes, he is. Well, he says, listen, this is war. This is war. Because there's going to be battle between father and mother, brothers and sisters. There's going to be all kinds of confusion. You've got to take a stand for you. I know whom I believe. I'm convinced, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've commissioned and put in his hand forever. This life must belong to God. Nobody can change it. Not my father, not my mother, not my brother. You cannot blackmail me to do otherwise. When I hear God, and I've heard Him, it doesn't matter what you do. You're only going to kill the flesh. Have that breakthrough. And when you and I have that breakthrough, the devil's in trouble. Because he has nothing to hold on to. Nothing. You cannot be blackmailed. You cannot be threatened. You cannot be bamboozled. You sold out. Ready to obey God. That terrifies the devil to no end. Let us terrorize that sucker. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, in just a moment, I'm going to do what the Lord instructed me to do. He said, all through these meetings, anoint everyone in the service. And I know there's something that He wants to do in all of us today. Give us that breakthrough grace that causes us not to resist the will of God, buck Him, but embrace Him and do what He wants done. And recognize that all the accolades, all the hosanna is not for me. It's for the one I'm carrying. Can you imagine that donkey thinking all that fancy stuff, people throwing their clothes? Hey, all this time I've been tied up. Now that I have had my breakthrough, hey, it's me. It's not you, man. It's not you. It's him. It's never going to be you. Get that settled. It's never going to be you. It's always about Him. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. It's all about Jesus. Amen? Praise God. Well, those of you that are online, I'm going to pray with you and I'm going to release you. And there is an anointing, a grace, a glory that's going to cut through the distance and reach you where you are. And we are going to give our special offering to the Lord tonight. I encourage everyone that's listening to do so. For those that are here, if you've not released a special offering, and this is one of those meetings where we bring our very best to the Lord, we have to take this seriously. Amen. That's an expression of thanksgiving unto the Lord. We're going to give unto the Lord and we're going to release our offering to Him in the faithfulness of the Spirit of God. You're going to come through and I'm going to lay hands on everyone. Everyone. And God is going to impact into you what you need. You're going to see yourself winning over things that have been a challenge. You're going to find out that God has already provided a ram. Amen? If you make the decision, God, I'm going to live for you. I make that decision. God is going to give you the kind of strength and ability to be obedient so that it becomes easy. For he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not a fight, it's not a struggle. God's grace is sufficient. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to receive what you need to win? Especially against yourself. Yeah. I want to win me so I can present me to him. Praise God. Surrendered, broken. Do what the donkey did. Break yourself. You don't need anybody to ride you, to break you, get you ready for Jesus. So when Jesus comes and sits, you don't bark. Break you. If an animal can do it, I know you can. I know I can. Amen? So let me pray for those that are online first, and then the rest of you, get yourself ready. Come, release your offering, and you can come from both sides. I'm going to be right here in the middle, and as I lay hands on you, you come from that side, and you come from that side, you can all go through the middle back. Praise the Lord. Father, I stretch these hands. They are not my hands, they are yours. Now anoint everyone, O God, listening, receiving your word right now. That Lord, O God, that there be an impartation on their lives like never before. That the battle be over, because in the name of Jesus, Lord, the victory is won. That Lord Jesus, even as you battled against yourself to surrender yourself to go to the cross, and Lord, that it will be the same for everyone listening and receiving right now. May your grace sufficient establish each one. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Receive your anointing. Praise God. So put your offering, and come to the middle, and just come like that and like that.